Good morning and welcome to Calvary. Happy Easter. We're incredibly glad that you are with us. If you're visiting with us, you are our special guest. We consider it a pleasure and a privilege that you've chosen to worship with us. If you'll do us a favor, in your bulletin there's a tab if you're visiting with us. If you'll fill that out and drop it in the offering plate, we'd love to have a record of your visit. This is an incredible day for us to come into the house of the Lord in a free country and worship Him. And as we prepare to do that, I pray that your hearts and minds will be focused on Him and allow Him to move and in this room, that you will walk out of here changed. Let's open in a word of a prayer. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your sacrifice that has saved us. And I pray that as we worship you today, that we will give you honor and glory and that it will be a sweet fragrance unto you. And Father, it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Oh, I forgot. If you are part of donating to our support of Heritage High School, we made another huge donation to them. We thank you for that. You are doing good work. Let's worship together.
Hear the cries of the shackle from the onset of time, for the chains of defeat, there's no key. See the tears of the broken, hear the cries. Is there no one worthy to set us free?
Then the crying is stilled as the chorus rings out. The shackled released from their chains. Thousands of voices are swelling the song. Worthy the Lamb
King. Please stand and join us as we worship.
Waiting the coming day.
Father, we thank you that you do live and you have saved us. Father, let our worship be pleasing to you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Be seated. Today is an incredible day. And as we go through the scripture today, I'm going to be pointing out some key phrases that I want you to focus on. Before we do that, I want you to open your hymnal back to that song we just sang, 358. I want to show you something. If you've sang this hymn as long as I have, it's maybe a phrase that you pass over, but it's incredibly important and significant. It's in the first verse. It's on the second line, and it says, "He lived and died to buy my pardon." You are guilty. If you're in this room and you're breathing, you're guilty of being a sinner. But Jesus lived and died to buy your pardon. If he is your Lord.
Every knee. It is done.
Pray with me. Father, we celebrate your victory, and we thank you and praise you for what you have done for us. As we open your word, open our eyes and our hearts. Let the words spoken be yours, and let us receive you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Today is about the victory of Jesus, who lived, died, rose from the grave, ascended into heaven, and is seated on a throne at the right hand of God. And it's the end of a journey for us as we have been looking at how love reigns over our past, our present, and today it's about our future. You see, we all have a future, an eternity. We all have eternity. Where you spend it is entirely up to you. I want you to go with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. I will be reading from the New Living Testament. It says, "Since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in a place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ God. And when Christ, who is your Lord, reveals to the whole world, you will share in His glory." Now, as we go through this passage of Scripture, I'm going to preach it backwards because I'm just weird like that. But I have three questions I want you to pose for yourself. I hope that you find an answer to them if you don't already have one. And remember this, not answering them for yourself is an answer. You'll see what I'm talking about as we go along. These are for you. These are about your future. And I invite you to answer them for yourself as we go. The first one is, who's on your throne? Who's on your throne? Look at verse 4. "And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in His glory." Think about this with me for a minute. You have a throne. It's yours. It's your heart. It's where you put all your focus. It's yours. You may do with it what you choose. God has created you with a free will, and He has allowed you to do whatever you want with your throne. At some point early in our lives, and some people spend their whole life, you can sit on your throne. It's yours, and you can focus and worship on whatever you want and whatever makes you happy, and you are on the throne of your life. What Jesus desires, and many of you have done, is gotten off of that throne and given it to Him. Now the question is, for you, who's on your throne? Your future depends on it. Jesus came to this earth. He lived and died to buy your pardon. And if you give Him the throne, that means you give Him your life. Look at verse 4 again, because there's a key phrase I want you to see here. It says, and we're in Christ, and focus in on this, who is your life? Who is your life? Is Christ your life? Meaning, when you start your day, you're focused on Him. As you go throughout your day, you're focused on Him. Your goals are with Him in mind. It's with Him being on the throne. You're seeking His will, not yours. There was a Sunday school teacher that was telling a story about Lazarus and the rich man. Remember this? I preached on it a few weeks ago. And she told in great detail about how Lazarus was sick and he had sores all over his body. And he would be taken at the beginning of every day and laid at the gate of the rich man's house. And he spent his life there. And the rich man went about his way and completely ignored Lazarus. And then the story goes that when Lazarus died, he was taken to heaven and treated with honor. And the rich man died and went to hell by his own choosing. And then the Sunday school teacher who was teaching first graders asked, which one do you want to be? And this one little boy raised his hand and he said, I want to be the rich man till I die and Lazarus in heaven. We laugh because it is us. We want to be the rich man. We want to control our destiny and be on our throne until we die, and then we want the rewards of having Jesus on your throne. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. The second question I want to ask you, and I want you to focus on, is what is your eye on? What is your eye on? Because you see, if you make the decision to become a Christian and a follower of Christ and you give Him your throne, that does not mean life is easy. For those of you who have been following for a while, you understand it is anything but. Look at verse 2. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is in heaven with Christ God. If you have ever played any kind of ball, whatever ball it is, or maybe you've tried to teach, you know, those who can do, those who can't teach. Maybe you've tried to teach somebody some sort of ball, whether it was baseball, football, soccer, whatever, golf. And you will inevitably tell them at some point, if you are going to be successful, you have to keep your eye on the ball. Now, for little people, there are a lot of distractions. And it takes focus. For people of this earth, there are a lot of distractions. And if you are going to live a Christ-filled life, you have to keep your eye on the throne that has Jesus sitting on it in your heart. Look back at verse 2. I want you to see something important. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of this earth. Think. Where is your mind as you go throughout your day, especially concerning your future? I would be willing to bet in a room this size, there are more than one worrier in here. We as human creatures, we like to worry. Oh, how's this going to turn out? What is this going to happen? How's that going to go through? That is thinking about the things of this earth. And you have been instructed by the one on your throne to think about the things of heaven. Try that the next time you start worrying about something. Think about heaven and how few worries you have there. You see, if you're not careful and you think about the things of this earth, this life, even if you have Christ on the throne of your heart, this life will beat you up. Christ has promised that. I think about the story of Joseph Carter. Have you heard this story? He was a New York Supreme Court judge. In August of 1930, he went out to dinner with friends. They walked to the curb. He got in a cab and was never heard from again. Never again. There has been lots of rumors about him being a judge that there was foul play. There's been lots of conspiracy theories. There was only one clue that was ever found in his disappearance. On his desk at home, he had written a large check to his wife with a note. And the note said, "I am very weary. Love, Joseph." Do you know that kind of weary? It's not the weary from cutting the grass. It's a weary that this life will beat you up. It is the weary of a broken heart. It is the weary of losing a spouse and trying to find meaning and why you're still here. It's the weary of losing a job or an uncertain future or a wayward child. That weary will wear you out. But Jesus has said, if you put me on your throne and keep your eye on me, you can have a rich and abundant life in the midst of all of that. Third question is, where is your citizenship? Where is your citizenship? Verse 1 says, "Since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in a place of honor at the right hand of God." During our scripture time this morning, there was a verse on the screen. It was from Philippians 3:20 that said, "But we are citizens of heaven, Christ the one who saved us from our punishment." So I got to ask you, you see what happens when you give the throne of your life to Christ and you focus on Him, you become a citizen of heaven. And I think we downplay that and miss it at times. Think about it this way. I recently had to have my passport renewed. I'm sure y'all have been through that at some point. You need one of these to prove you're a citizen of the United States. If you leave this country and you come back, they're going to ask you for this. They want to know, where's your citizenship? If you try to go into another country, they're going to want to see your passport. Who are you a citizen of? We get focused on our American citizenship and can lose sight of our citizenship of heaven. This one's temporary. That one's permanent. So what are you focused on? What is your citizenship? What is driving your life on a daily basis? Is it your citizenship of this country, of this life? Or is it your citizenship in heaven? Look at that verse again. Verse 1, since you have been raised to a new life, the minute you give that throne to Him, this citizenship becomes irrelevant. That one becomes important. And what Christ wants us to do is to give Him that throne, to keep our eye on it and understand. Here's the important thing on this verse. Set your sights on the realities of heaven. It's real. It is real. And when you live like it's real, it changes everything. But we have to live like it's real, like it is a reality. But I tell you, it's hard for us. It's like the story of a guy who it came time for him to die, and he begged and convinced Christ to allow him to take one suitcase to heaven. God said, you don't need it. He said, look, I do. I need it. I need one suitcase. And he convinced him, and God allowed him. He gets to heaven with his suitcase, and St. Peter says, you can't bring that in here. And the man said, I talked to Jesus, and He allowed me to do it. And St. Peter said, well, I got to see what's in it. Now, this was a wealthy man. Okay? He was a wealthy man. And when he opened the suitcase, St. Peter looked in it. He looked at him. He looked in the suitcase. He looked at him with a real puzzled look on his face. And St. Peter said, you brought a suitcase full of pavement to heaven? And the guy said, no, it's gold. Peter said, that's pavement. Think about it in those terms. We spend all our focus on gathering things that matter in this life. And if you filled a suitcase full of gold, it would amount to a piece of asphalt when you got to heaven. Which reality are you focused on? Are you gathering pavement? For what? For what? What are you going to do with it? Which reality are you living in? This is useless. Christ wants to be on the throne of your life. And if you have accepted Him and gotten off of that throne and put Him on it and focused your life on Him and outside of the distractions, and you're going to have to keep refocusing and remember that your citizenship is in heaven, not here. Your life and your future will be incredibly different. Pray with me. Father, I thank You that we have a reality that is heaven. If we have accepted You as our Savior and our Lord. I pray for the people in this room right now, Father, that we be incredibly clear about who's on the throne of our life. I pray for everyone in this room that it would be You. And for anyone who doesn't know You here, Father, I pray that they would give their heart, the throne of their life, to You today and be made new and giving a new life in You. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.